Welcome to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah, the podcast where we look at biblical truths to answer the pressing questions we encounter every day surrounding cultural issues. We are your hosts, Sarah Cherney and Judge Phil Ginn. Today we're addressing a pressing topic. It's called racial division. It's a topic that stirs up emotions, it sparks some debates, and unfortunately, it's the cause of division in America. As Christians, we must ask ourselves, what does the Bible say about this issue? And so how do we keep our focus on the gospel in such a divided culture? And most importantly, how do we move forward and foster true and lasting unity? So stay with us because we are going to discuss these very important issues.
Well, you're right, Sarah. This is one of those things that is extremely important and is being used, I think, by enemies of our nation to divide us. When communists have taken over countries in the past, it's really been on economic issues, mm-hmm. and that's been difficult for them to do because we had, at least at some point in time, a fairly strong middle class in America. But one of the issues that we are vulnerable in is this concept of racial divide. So let's talk a little bit, if you will. What do you think the current state of racial divide is in America, and how in the world did we get to where we are?
Well, you know, I'm not an expert in this space, and I feel woefully inadequate to share a history on the reasons for racial divide in our nation. And so if you go out and you study just a little bit, like on the history of any culture, I believe that racial divides happen because humans really lose sight of their purpose and they resort to focus on flesh, on the flesh, fleshly ideas, greed, money, power, control, and not on what God requires or holiness or godliness or godly living. And I believe that it's control, it's power and control and it's authority. And so the racial divide that's in our country now, it's complicated, and it's been complicated by numerous factors. And when you take a look at our past, how do we arrive at this current state? So I would say that would be the topic for another podcast, looking at the history, like the history of America, what may have led to this. There's all kinds of discussions and white papers and theories, and you know, we could talk ad infinitum with all of that. But for what we know today, when we think about today, according to the 2022 Pew survey by the Pew Research Center, 57% of Americans believe that race relations are getting worse, and only 18% think that they're improving. So you can see this with political polarization. You know, there are some issues of what I guess you could call unresolved systemic issues that have contributed to their decline in the perception. All you got to do is watch the news, watch TV, look at what's happened, you know, in our past, in our very recent past, you know, especially during COVID, and lots of situations that took place and really brought about the social justice war in our nation and around that time with George Floyd. So I believe that today, a part of the issue really stems around that lack of clarity and what does it mean to reconcile racially. And given that the truth in the Word of God provides the answers, I suggest that we look to the Word of God for clarity on this as our topic of guidance for today. Because that really, to me, is where we have to go when we're not sure what else we do with what's taking place in our nation.
Well, Sarah, I think you're absolutely correct in that. But one of the things that I would even go one step further than what you just talked about, and that is I believe that there are elements, significant elements of our culture that don't want us as people of different colors to get along, different of socioeconomic backgrounds to get along. It's a demonic influence,
yes,
that tears people apart.
Yes.
Whereas what you're talking about and what we're suggesting here, and well, it's not even it's proclaiming the truth of that there's only reconciliation with each other and with God through the blood and sacrifice of Jesus Christ.
Well, that's the answer.
That's
the answer. So if you want the answer, and I think the reality is, if you take a look at what's happening in our world, the reality is that most people don't know the Word of God. They don't
Absolutely.
Know Scripture. And if you don't know Scripture, we've talked about this in previous podcasts. If you don't know Scripture, if you don't understand who God is and your purpose for existence in this world, you fill it with something else, which is the flesh, the devil, with spiritual powers. We fight a war against principalities. And so it's not flesh and blood we fight a war against. But people utilize the spiritual, negative spiritual, satanic spiritual, as a force in people's lives to bring about division, to bring about enmity. That's happened in the book of Genesis. Look at what happened in the book. It started in page one of biblical truth, back with Adam and Eve. And so enmity is
man in our image.
That's right. So enmity is something that we certainly have to a factor of. It's a reality of our world. So how do we combat that? How do we fight that? Yeah. And I think that when you look at racism is an identity, an outcropping of having an identity based on, you know, skin color, based on your culture, based on something that sets you apart, makes you unique. But under God's eyes, he's not a respecter of persons.
Well, even our biology will tell us, if you look at us genetically, everybody in the world is related to within the fifth degree of relationship. Well, so it's, I mean, we're all very closely related.
If we look at...
We're all part of the same family in that regard.
If you look at biblical truth... If the flood was real, which we know it to be, then Noah is our father.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? We all came
some
from...
way, form, or fashion.
His genetic DNA is the outcropping for Absolutely. Everyone who is currently in existence, if that is true, if you believe that to be true, of which I happen to believe that to be true. And so the division comes. Think about the reason for division. When you think about the reason for division in your own life, where does it come from? If it comes from pride, it comes from selfishness, it comes from jealousy... The exact opposite of division is what Jesus stands for. It's unity, laying down your life for your brother, brotherly love.
That's literally what we could call the bridge over this racial gap, is to understand that our love for our brothers and sisters arises out of and follows the example that Jesus set for us by dying on the cross for the salvation of the world. It is that compassion that Jesus had that we are to have for others. And if our desire is to see that person come to know the Lord and to be with us in heaven, we treat that person a lot differently than if we are, in a business sense, wanting to use them for some purpose, for some personal gain.
So, Judge, let me ask you a question then for our listening audience, for you to speak into this, because you are now a pastor. You are a judge. You have a degree here at SES. So I think you can really speak into this. So is racial division a biblical concept, or is unity the ultimate goal for believers?
Well, I fear that sometimes people have utilized the Bible, certainly Philemon and other places, to justify racial division when in fact it's not there. The unity in Christ is the ultimate goal for believers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the Bible presents a clear vision of this unity in Christ that transcends all ethnic, social, and any cultural divides that can come to us from society. If you go back to biblical reference, Ephesians 2, 14 through 16, Jesus himself modeled breaking down cultural barriers mm-hmm. in who he dealt with.
Mm-hmm.
The woman at the well, she was a racially inferior, quote unquote, individual to Jesus because she was a Samaritan, and yet he met her at the well, that's in John 4, and brought her into the family of God, regardless of what her ethnic background might have been. And so while the Bible acknowledges different nations, it acknowledges different tongues and divisions that are based on race, and those exist. I mean, I don't look the same as my friend who may be of African-American heritage or Jewish heritage or Arabian heritage or whatever it may be. And so there are differences, but division based on these differences is not a part of God's design. And this revelation actually points us to the future. The book of Revelation points us to a future that is multi-ethnic. It states that every tribe, every language, every people, and all nations will be gathered around God's throne if we are children of God. So really, there's only two kinds of people in the world, and that is those who are in Christ and those who are not in Christ.
That's right. Those who are in the kingdom and those who are not in the kingdom, and there's no middle ground here.
And our greatest desire ought to be to pull those who are not in the kingdom
Amen.
Into the kingdom.
That's right.
And not to separate them from us. And so if the ultimate goal of Christ through his sacrifice is to have every tribe and nation and people who are in him around his throne, then division has to come from Satan himself.
You know, it's interesting. I always like to bless people wherever I go that I don't know. And one time I was in Walmart and a woman walked up, and I happened to be white, Caucasian. And this woman walked up and she happened to have been black. And she asked me to reach up and help her get something. She was kind of leaning on her cart, and I reached up there to grab her. And I said, "I hope you have a blessed day." And she says, "Yes, well, you know, I love Jesus." And I said, "You're a sister." And so we just started hugging in Walmart and talking about the Lord. I mean, when you are in Christ, it doesn't matter. You automatically elevate to a conversation that is of great importance. And the love I felt for this woman was, you know, my husband walked by, he goes, "Why are you hugging this woman in the aisle at Walmart?" And I'm like, "She's a sister in Christ." And it's amazing. You don't it's look what, at that.
If you're not in the family, you don't understand it.
But that's right. And so what our goal is with the Great Commission is to pull people into that family, to share with them the gospel. The power of transformation, real reconciliation, I think racially, with any cultural divide, really happens through the power of the gospel. The message of the gospel, that is where the power rests to bring together two groups, bring them together and unto a whole.
Well, I think, Sarah, here's the problem as far as I'm concerned. And it's a problem in a lot of churches. When it comes to racial divide, other issues, we treat the symptoms rather than the cause. Mm-hmm. And so we talk about what can we do to treat this symptom or that symptom, and we come up with a list of things, whatever it may be. Mm-hmm. It could vary from group to group. But the real problem is that people are not living in Christ. And once we get to that point where you and I we're separated because you're female and I'm a male, and we've already talked about you're a Yankee and I'm a Southerner.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, there's this great divide. But I know it's probably not politically correct, but there's a story about Robert E. Lee after the Civil War, and he was in a church that was racially divided. The black folks had to sit in the balcony. They couldn't sit down front where the white folks were sitting. And there, at the end of the service, an old elderly black man got up out of the balcony, came down and knelt at the altar. And the white folks were just aghast that he would have the audacity to do that. And it said that Robert E. Lee got up out of his seat and came and knelt down by him and put his arm around him. And then after the fact, Robert E. Lee was castigated by some of the parishioners, and he was supposedly the one, as the story goes, that coined the phrase, "The ground is always level at the foot of the cross."
Amen.
And so that's the message we need to be getting out through our churches, through the hearts of Christians everywhere, that you and I are equal in front of the cross because Jesus Christ had to die the same death for each of us. He spilt his red blood to save each of us, and each of us has that same red blood flowing through our veins. So, you know, that brings us to a question, Sarah, and I'll pose it to you. How can we as Christians maintain the focus on what you might say the main thing, which is the gospel, amid all this cultural and racial division that sometimes just engulfs us as a people?
Well, you know, Judge, you just said it with your story that, you know, the ground is level at the foot of the cross. You know, it's not about the Jew or the Gentile, or it's not about, you know, man, woman, and as slave or free, as Paul mentions. I think that's in Corinthians. What I'll tell you is that it's truly about the fact that the core of Christianity is reconciliation with God through Jesus Christ, and that extends to all people. It extends to humankind. And so, you know, I think there's one race. It's the human race, and that's how we have to look at people. We come with different backgrounds, different ideas, and different thoughts, but we can all meet at the foot of the cross. And so, like you said, when churches focus on those secondary issues and they neglect the fact that the gospel is what brings us together, I do think that we divide. So some practical steps for our listening audience. I think the gospel demands that we live in love and brotherly affection towards one another. And so we set that example within our families, you know, where to be salt and light. And Jesus even said, if salt loses its saltiness, it's no good. It's to be thrown out and trampled on. So remember that. If you are to be salt and light, you are to let the light of Christ that lives inside of you shine through your words and your actions and how you treat people, regardless of their circumstance or situation. And that's modeled for your children, because being a parent, you know, a lot of that is being caught, not just taught. The Bible also states that our identity is found in Christ and not in our ethnicity. If you utilize ethnicity as something to be proud of, that's actually a negative. And so our identity is found in Christ and in Christ-likeness. So we need to be obedient to that in our own lives and exemplify that, that there is no status or position in this world that's better than anyone else. God specifically says he blesses all, some more than others. We're not all equal in terms of gifts and talents and abilities. We know that. Not everyone should be getting a trophy. However, we all have something to bring to the table, and we're all found worthy in God's eyes, no matter what. So we
have to treat— Because of Jesus, not because of us.
100%. We can bring nothing personally to the table. It's all through Jesus Christ. So the truth of God's word also states that people are made in the image of God, and therefore all races and ethnic groups have the same status and value. If you look at Acts 10:24, it reminds us that God sees us all as humans. I stated that before. It's humankind. And it is not about, you know, he made someone better than someone else. That is not the case. We all stand at the foot of the cross on equal ground. I repeat that because that's an excellent way for us to look at our neighbor. No one is better than ourselves. And so when we live in obedience in the heart to what Jesus told us to do as leaders, as family members, as neighbors, as church members, that truly means we die to ourselves, we die to our own pride, we die to the things that we think that we need to do. We lay those things down to live life Jesus' way. And that can be very challenging, but that's what Jesus said, to be his disciple. You cannot follow him unless you pick up your cross daily. And so I think we need to keep that as a reminder every day and train up our children in that as well. And I think we discipline ourselves in that, and we catch ourselves in our mind when we're thinking things we shouldn't, because the mind is the scene of the crime. That's not my saying. That I have a pastor I used to go to his church, and he always says, the mind is the scene of the crime. It starts here. So fill your mind with the truth of the word of God, and then exemplify that in your actions and in the words you speak.
Well, you know, as we wrap up this discussion, we want to encourage folks to reflect on how we can be part of the solution and how you can be a peacemaker in the face of the division that's there. And I want to tell you a personal story. I don't think I've ever shared this with you. You know, I'm a good bit older than you are, and I happened to be a school kid when integration happened in the South. And there was a lot of stress involved with that, both on from white folks and from black folks. And my dad was a pastor in a small southern town, and he opted to go and preach a series of meetings at a little black congregation. It was right out in the middle of the field, just a concrete block type structure. And I can remember had the big fans, you know, from the funeral homes. That's the only air conditioning they had. Is in the summertime, all the windows open, and the black lady was— I was just a kid, and she was sitting there fanning me, you know, while I was laying, probably acting up on the bench. And so that was fine with my dad's church until my dad invited the black preacher to come to our church to preach. And the deacons got kind of upset about that. They did not know whether they wanted black folks coming to worship with them in their church. And so my daddy ended up taking a pretty firm stand and eventually lost his employment over it. So I asked him— I was just a small child, and I asked him, I said, why did you do that? Why were you so intent on treating the black folks like equals? And he related the story to me that when he was a child, his grandmother went dry, or his mother went dry, my grandmother, and so she couldn't feed him. And at that time, in the early 1900s, babies would die because mothers couldn't feed them, and so they had to find a wet nurse for him. And there was a black lady who was a sharecropper there near their home, and my grandmother would take my father over and nurse at the breast of that black lady. And my daddy told me, he said, you know, I just cannot be out of sorts or contrary to someone of a race who gave me life.
Hmm.
And I think that's the way we need to look at each other. Jesus Christ has given us life, and my life is worth nothing without Jesus, just as your life is worth nothing without Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so our lives have the same value. Either we're in Jesus or we're not in Jesus.
Amen.
And so the Bible calls us to be salt and light in this broken world that we live in. And that includes fostering unity within the believers.
Mm.
And it also includes calling those who are not believers into the family of God in a winsome way. So if you're looking for deeper understanding of how to apply biblical principles in the world today, let me just encourage people to head on over to ses.edu or truththatmatters.net. Southern Evangelical Seminary offers incredible resources and programs designed to equip Christians to engage with culture in a Christ-centered way, and that's what we're calling people to do. So as we end today, let's just call on each other to continue to be agents of change.
Amen.
By staying focused on the gospel and standing steadfast in the truth of that gospel. Thank you for listening to Everyday Truth with Judge and Sarah. As always, stay informed, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay steadfast in the truth.